Magical Mara Designs is proud to sponsor this episode of the Dub D Dub Review podcast. Whether you are looking for cute, comfortable mini ears or Disney-inspired face masks, we've got you covered at MagicalMaraDesigns.com.
Hello, welcome to the Dub D Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by James Doyle today. James, how are you?
Good, Chris. If I were doing any better, my name would be Chris Malik.
You don't want that. I wouldn't wish that upon my enemies. So it's good to see you, buddy. We've communicated a few times, and you were with our family game night. So this is the first time, though, that you and I have actually been on the same show. So I'm glad to have you, James.
Well, thanks for having me.
So before we start, we always do a little thing here, like what's good in your life and what's going on. And you and I were talking off air, and I've seen pictures. You have a really interesting job, and you got some cool things in the works. So get everyone up to speed. What's cool in your life right now, James?
So I work for Disney. I actually did Walt Disney Television, to be exact. I've been working for them for about 2 years. After Disney made the acquisition of Fox, a lot of Fox properties. I was working for Fox Sports before then, doing a lot of regional sports stuff. I hear you're a Cardinals fan.
I am.
Plenty of Cardinals games, Tampa Bay Rays, Tampa Bay Lightning, Florida Panthers, all over the place. Done a lot of those. And then once Disney came in and bought a lot of the Fox properties, now I'm an employee of Disney and ABC. We just wrapped up with the Oscars the other day. That was a pretty big deal up at work. And then tonight and through the weekend, I'm doing the NFL draft. So pretty neat. I'm really enjoying my job there.
Wow. You know, I'm seeing pictures of you at work, and I described it as like organizing and orchestrating chaos, but it keeps you on your toes. I bet you every day there's something new that you've never seen before that you try to manage, correct?
It can be very chaotic, but it's also very rewarding. And yes, especially when I'm doing sports, I do a lot of NBA stuff on the weekends on ABC. And sports is never the same. No two games are. So there's always some cool stuff to see.
Cool. Give me, you know my team, but give me some of your team. So you're in Texas. You Texans fan, Astros fan. Give me some of your clubs.
Unfortunately, you named two of them there.
Okay.
Texans, who look like a train wreck right now. The Astros, everybody's most hated team, with the big scandal they had a couple of years ago. A big Texas A&M college football and basketball fan. Love hockey. I wish we had a hockey team down here, but until then, I'm rooting for the Golden Knights, just because I also love going to Las Vegas. So, yeah, okay. Those are my teams.
Well, let me just let's make this the Houston Sports Podcast for just a second. Once Bill Callahan was hired, that team just could not get out of its own way. And recently, oh my good heavens, like the Houston Texans are just like, let's just leave them alone. They got enough of their own issues to deal with right now. You know,
it's making me nauseous just thinking about it, Chris.
Just thinking about it. Yeah. And Yordan Alvarez testing positive, it seems, every other week now for the Astros on the injured list again, right? So
yeah,
I'm plugged in with Houston sports, just so you know.
Yeah.
So
they got a good squad. They just need to stay on the field.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So I've got you here today for a special show. It was a research project. You were like, hey, would you like to do a show? I got a show idea for you, but it's going to be a lot of work. So we'll talk about it in just 1 second, but let's talk about your Disney connection besides working for the Disney company. Let's just throw a few questions at you just to get people familiar with who you are. And then we can talk about like how you came to the Disney company, not professionally, but personally, you know, how that, you know, occurred in your life. But your favorite park?
Magic Kingdom, hands down. It just feels like Disney. There's nothing like it. Walking walking underneath the train station there and emerging out onto Main Street and seeing the castle at the end of the road is just, you get the feels every time.
Every
Whether
time.
It's my first time down or my 50th, it's every single time.
Okay. Your favorite attraction?
Ooh. This one kind of changes based on each trip. I come away with a new favorite. Splash Mountain, probably.
Okay.
And I'm actually kind of looking forward to the changes. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it, with the whole Princess and the Frog thing.
Well, it's going to be, I agree with you. It's going to be something special. You know that Splash Mountain, and even in its current, not even a social statement here, but it's beloved. So in order to go and capitalize and make sure people believe and want to go and continue on their love for Splash Mountain, it's going to be something special. So I agree with you. It's going to be really cool. Your least favorite attraction?
Probably the ones that I can't ride.
Okay.
Just because the whole just going around in a circle, Mad Tea Party, Astro Orbiter, Triceratops Spin, I don't touch those.
Gotcha.
I can handle all the roller coasters just fine, but you put me on something that's just spinning around and around, and it's not good for me. So, yeah, I'd have to say all those.
Man, you have a really nice political answer. I was just going to come out and say, man, the teacups and the Mad Tea Party, those suck. That gets me dizzy every time. I can't take that at my point, you know? So, agree. When you go down, do you stay on property or off property?
On
property.
On. We usually stay at Pop Century.
Okay.
That's kind of been our go-to. We go with kids, and they don't care if we stay somewhere super fancy. They want something fun that has a fun pool and a fun theme. And now that that they're on the Skyliner, it just makes it even better. So I'd like to stay other places. Wilderness Lodge in particular has been on my bucket list. But Pop Century is just so easy, and it's way more affordable than those others. So
that was my next question, is where is your bucket list that you've not stayed in? Wilderness Lodge, huh?
That's
okay.
We went there for lunch on our last trip. We went in December, and I've never been on that property at all. Took the ferry boat over from Magic Kingdom, had lunch at Whispering Canyon, and it's beautiful, really, really pretty. So I really want to stay there.
It's a jaw dropper. The lobby, the first time you're actually in the lobby and you look up and you see those large, you know, timbers. It's a jaw dropper. So agree.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous place.
What's your favorite non-parks activity at Walt Disney World?
I enjoy going to Disney Springs. I know it can be pretty crowded and congested there, but it's just nice to walk through and, you know, all the different dining options and going to the Disney store.
Are you a shopper? Are you a shopper, James?
Yeah. I'm worse than my wife. She actually makes fun of me.
Okay. So the way you communicate to your wife your love is usually like with a Pandora bead, like me or something like that. But yeah, when I come home from the Springs, like, did I really need that? Yeah, I did. I did need that.
So, you'll find a use for it.
Right? Exactly. Have you been to any other Disney parks besides the Walt Disney World Resort? Have you been to California? Actually,
the first park I'd ever went to was Disneyland.
Okay.
But I was only 7 or 8 years old. So I remember bits and pieces of it, but, you know, I don't have a great memory of that trip. But that was the first park that I'd been to.
Okay. And that was the last time you were at Disneyland?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So there's definitely a trip due back for you.
Absolutely. And especially now that I can get in free once they open things up out there, I'm definitely planning on making a return.
Outstanding. All right. So describe to me, what would be like a quintessential Disney moment? Like, what defines that for you? What makes you feel like you're there? Is it the sights, sounds, smell? Is it the purchasing, walking with the family, eating at a place? What is a quintessential Disney moment for you?
Oh, all of it. I mean, it's so hard to pinpoint just one, but like I was talking about walking underneath the train station at Magic Kingdom, and you come out onto Main Street and you see all the cast members just bringing the magic. You see the street entertainers and the Dapper Dans and all the smells from the bakery, and you look up and there's the castle, and oh my God, you know, it's just, you get that feeling of I'm really here. To me, that's Disney.
Gotcha. Let's do a few overrated, underrated, if you don't mind, and then we'll get right into our show. Okay. I'm gonna put you right in the spot. Dole Whip, overrated, underrated.
Overrated.
That's been the popular opinion recently, and I agree with you on that. And if you're listening, you're not agreeing. You're probably pretty angry right now. But explain why. Pineapple doesn't do it for you? Pineapple ice cream? Or is it just the hype that's been carried on through social media?
I think it's overhyped. I don't think it's terrible. I've had a couple, and they're okay. But I don't walk into Magic Kingdom and say, oh, I can't wait until I have a Dole Whip. It's just not that great, in my opinion.
You know what? It's a good way to put it. I agree with you. I think it's good. It's pineapple ice cream. It's refreshing, but doesn't draw me. Doesn't call my name, you know, as soon as I walk in. So agree with you. How about that big old turkey leg?
Oh, disgusting. Gross.
James is like talking to myself here. Yes, this is good.
Why do people eat those? It's just greasy and ugh. No. And the worst thing, Chris, is when you see families sharing the turkey leg.
Right? What's up with that?
You get somebody else's slobber to mix in with the grease. It's just not a good look. Man.
You can see me laughing. When you see them in line and they're waiting in the attraction line, right? And they're all picking off parts. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I can't even imagine this. Ugh. So I agree. All right. How about the Mickey bar, the Mickey premium ice cream bar?
Love them.
Okay. So you wouldn't say underrated because it's pretty popular, but let's just say, let's add a new category here. So it's love them. Very good. Yes. How about the Mickey pretzel?
They're okay.
Okay.
Had a couple. Not bad. Probably
it's
not
hard
my,
to
sc- not my
It's hard to scoop snack. A pretzel, right? Exactly. Right, James? It's hard to, right?
I guess the only way would be if you get one that's been sitting out a little too long, maybe it gets a little stale. But if you get one fresh, and it's nice and soft and hot. Oh, yeah, they are pretty good.
Okay, last one. How about the churro? No. Wow. No. Okay, so what's your go-to snack, though, besides the Mickey Premium Bar? Because we just shot down quite a few of the snacks. What would be your go-to snack?
I'm a big French fry guy. So
okay.
Just hand me some fries. I'm good to go. The spring rolls, those are good if you can get them.
Gotcha.
They're a little pricey, but they're not bad.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's get into the show then today. So we got a little bit of background for you, and people have a little idea of where we're coming from. Here was the assignment today. So we wanted to do a ranking of the lands, okay? So there's a lot of land in Walt Disney World as far as parks go. What was our count, James? How many did we pull together here?
I think the official maps have 24, but some of them are nothing but a couple of restaurants or a coffee stand. So we came up with 21.
Came up with 21 total lands because we combined a few things, such as on the map for Epcot. Well, we combined the Showcase Plaza and World Showcase because Showcase Plaza's got the gift shop and whatnot, but there's not a whole lot there. We also combined, this is preference purposes here, we combined Discovery Island and the Oasis. That was one land. And we also combined Grand Avenue and Commissary Lane at the studios to make one land. So when you think, oh, that's going to be easy, they're just going to rank the lands based on attractions and whatnot, we did the exact opposite. We tried not to include the attractions. So the criteria that I said to James was this was the actual text. I'm going to read it. Based on this criteria, please rank all the lands in every park in order from top to bottom. The criteria is overall theming, food options, overall fun for a 5-year-old and a 50-year-old, and bathroom accessibility. Notice how I skip which land has the best or most thrilling attractions, because it's pretty easy to say Pandora, right? Because it's got some of the best attractions. And yes, it may be up at the top, but we don't want to include the attractions. I'm imagining a 5-year-old who's afraid of a lot of attractions. Or I'm imagining Michael Black, who in fact may not want to go on the thrill rides that are the moneymaker thrill rides. So that was our criteria. We're going to rank all the lands from bottom to top. So we got 21 of them. And once we start off with the worst, I'm just going to have you give one sentence on why, if that's cool with you. Okay. Y'all good with that?
Yes, sir.
All right. So number 21, the worst, and this is air quotes, because really none of them are bad. The worst land in Walt Disney World, according to James Doyle. Where are we going?
I'm going with Commissary Lane and what do we come by that with? Grand Avenue?
Grand Avenue. Okay. Okay.
Studios.
Gotcha.
Just not a whole lot there. Aside from Muppet Vision 3D, they also have Pizza Rizzo, which I haven't tried because everything I've read is not good.
So okay.
If their marquee things there are the Muppets and a bad pizza spot, yeah, that's not real good for me. So I've got that dead last.
Okay. Did you consider, though, we just discussed this, they had the Sci-Fi Dine-In too as well. Did that help move it at all? But it still is. I mean, I respect that as well too. So, it's still towards the bottom. But you gave that the number 21 ranking. Okay, number 20. Where do we go?
Number 20, I have Animation Courtyard.
Okay.
Also at Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
They have the Walt Disney Theater, Disney Junior Play and Dance, but not much else.
Exactly. They just have a coffee, a Joffrey's coffee stand and some quick service carts there. But you're right. There's not a whole lot there. That would have been probably number 21 for me if I had to rank it. But okay, number 20. Number 19, where are we at?
19, we are going to Dinoland USA.
Okay.
And Animal Kingdom. Even though I love the dinosaur attraction itself. Mm-hmm. I think the ride is awesome, and I think the queue is really cool as well.
Taking that away, okay.
But taking that away, yeah, it just feels cheesy and forgettable, especially when you look at what else Animal Kingdom has to offer, how immersive Asia and Africa and Pandora are, and then you stumble upon this kind of cheesy dinosaur carnival area. I think they could have done so much more with that.
Now, I don't disagree with you. As a matter of fact, we had a discussion, and I think we both came to the same conclusion. We both love the dinosaur attraction. It's one of our favorite attractions there. But yeah, it has this certain, well, we need to finish the park. We've got some carnival things. Let's throw it together and retheme it. And you're right. It does feel cheesy. Now, I did give a moment of pause, though, thinking, how would my five-year-old, though, like this as they walk through it, seeing the Boneyard and seeing, you know, the games? And it made me hesitate for a second. But for the adult in me, if you took away the attractions, the, you know, the Triceratops spin and whatnot, yeah, it left something to be desired. And the food options are really weak right there, the Restaurantosaurus and whatnot. But the food options aren't great at this point. And we're stating this in a best case scenario. All restaurants, all food options are open, not current what's open right now. So that's how we reviewed it. Okay. Number 18.
18. I'm going to Future World East in Epcot.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Wow.
I'm probably going to hurt some feelings because I know we have a lot of Epcot fans.
Okay.
But Spaceship Earth is awesome. So it does have the icon, but I'm not a big fan of Mission Space. Test Track, I think, is one of the most overrated rides on property. I know that's not a popular opinion either. And I know we're not supposed to include the rides, but just the area itself, it just kind of feels a little too concrete and cold, in my opinion.
James, you know what? When you said that, I was going to say, are you insane? But you're right. If we exclude the attractions and you look at Future World East, we're talking a Joffrey's coffee and tea cart. We're talking essentially a gift shop and mouse gear. That's it. That's all that there is left in that area. Now, I would say theming is okay. It captured the theming in the sense that it looks like what Epcot should look like. But in terms of everything else but the attractions, you know what? You're not wrong. That might actually be number 21 on the list once you eliminate the attractions from there. So, man, when you said that, my ears perked up. But you're right. All right. Number 17, where we go?
We're going to walk across Epcot and go to Future World West again. All okay. The Epcot hate for me. I'm sorry, guys.
Okay.
I definitely think it's better than East because they do have some dining options. But it just doesn't really make me feel Disney. I don't know. I guess some of the problems with me is that I'm constantly comparing everything to Magic Kingdom, which I shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. But I would say Future World West for me.
Okay. The dining options are stronger there. Sunshine Seasons, Coral Reef. So it is a little better, but okay, there we go. Number 16, where are we at?
16, I'm going to Echo Lake and Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
Star Tours, the aesthetics of it outside are kind of cool. The 50s.
Definitely for a five-year-old, the aesthetics for Star Tours is pretty cool. So
it is cool.
Okay.
They also have some pretty good dining options. 50s Primetime, Hollywood Vine, Backlot Express. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm going with number 16.
Gotcha. But just for your taste, it doesn't quite meet what it doesn't put you in the top part of the list.
No. And we have some pretty strong lands coming up here. So as we move up, I'm sure some people are thinking, what? How can he have the Future World West so low? You got to look at what's in front of it.
This is true. Probably from your assignment, you probably went from maybe the best to the worst. And you're right. Number one through number 10. I mean, there's an argument that any one of those could be number one. As you hear me rustling through papers, literally at this point, writing the numbers down, and I'm avoiding some things. I'm like, yeah, I kind of get why those are there. Because I'm looking at the Magic Kingdom thinking, yeah, those are all headliners. So I agree with you. Someone's got to be number 16. So where's number 15?
15, we're going to Magic Kingdom, Liberty Square. And maybe I have this a little too low. I love Haunted Mansion. And aside from the actual ride, just aesthetically, just seeing the big mansion and the outside area, I mean, it really sets the tone for Liberty Square. But that's about it. I mean, you got the Liberty Tree Tavern, you have the Columbia Harbor House, both good dining options. But to me, Liberty Square is just kind of the area between Fantasyland and Frontierland. It's just, I have to walk through here to get to the other place.
James, you know what? You and me are so similar. I have the words middle child next to Liberty Square, in the sense that it's the in-between the youngest and the oldest kid. And it's not to say that it's not great, but yeah, it's a bypass area, and they've done a great job immersing you. You see the Liberty Tree with the lanterns, but you kind of have to walk through it. So it rarely ever gets the attention, you know, cause you're on the way somewhere else. So I have the word middle child. No offense to any middle children out there, of course. So got it. Gotcha. Number 14, where are we at?
14, I'm going to Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
I know there's not a ton there, but it's more the lead-in to Hollywood Studios. So I know when we go to studios, just walking in and you kind of get that feeling of arrival. Coming through the gates of Hollywood Studios, the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Well, again, we're not supposed to include the rides themselves, but the theater there kind of adds to it. So,
gotcha.
That makes number 14 for me.
Well, I wondered where you were going to put the entry lands for all the parks, the Oasis, Main Street USA, you know, Hollywood Boulevard. I wondered where you were going to put these because it's arguable they're the most important lands in every park. because they set the story. It's the opening chapter. When you read a book, if you don't find interest in that opening chapter or two, you're not going to read it any further. So, you know, I realize how important it is, even if there's not much, it sets the story. It does bring you back to, you know, like they envisioned, you know, a Hollywood of a bygone era that never was, you know, and it does transport you there. So as far as theming goes, exactly. As far as shopping goes, yeah, all these lands are super important. And of course, you know, we mentioned bathroom accessibility. For sure. They're all strong like that. So, okay. Number 13, where are we at?
13, we are staying in Hollywood Studios, going to Toy Story Land. I have a feeling I might have this one a little bit too low.
Okay.
But I don't know where I would move it up to. The theming is really cool, obviously. The cue for Slinky Dog is awesome, even though I think Slinky Dog is just slightly better than the Barnstormer as far as the ride itself goes.
Okay.
Woody's Lunchbox looks like a really cool place. The downfall to me for Toy Story Land is that it can feel a little crowded.
Gotcha. The theming is fantastic, but the food options aren't great. But a five-year-old's eyes would become like saucers in Toy Story Land. You know, they would be wide-eyed for sure. But you're right. Looking at what's left, really hard to move anything there. So number 12, where are we at?
Number 12, I'm going to Animal Kingdom and Discovery Island.
Okay.
I mean, how can you ignore the icon of Animal Kingdom? I mean, the Tree of Life is just awe-inspiring in itself. They have some good dining options. They have Flame Tree Barbecue, Tiffin's, Nomad Lounge. Discovery Island, number 12 for me.
Plus, if you throw in the strength of the Oasis, which is the entryway, which really makes you feel like you're not in any of the other parks whatsoever. I know it's not a zoo, but like, you know, throwing back to, 20 years ago. Yeah, definitely. There's definitely a feeling that this is unlike anything you've ever stepped foot in terms of a Disney park. So, okay. Number 11, where are we at?
11, I am going to back to Hollywood Studios, Sunset Boulevard. Not a lot of great dining options there, but there's just when you talked earlier about just getting those Disney feelings, walking down Sunset Boulevard, especially if you catch it at just the right time when the sun is starting to set and you're looking at the end of the street and you see the Hollywood Tower Hotel just looming. I don't know. To me, something about that just makes me smile every time.
Now, so this is where you and I would differ, because this one would be in my bottom two or three, because it's buoyed solely on the strength of the tower and Rock and Roller Coaster. If you take those away, even the Vision, I know that it provides ambience and theming, but if you take that away, there's virtually no food options other than some food carts, and there's some shopping there. So if you take away the attractions and you put your five-year-old on the floor and said, here, would you have more fun here or Toy Story Land? I wouldn't even have to ask the question. I'd have to stop them as they're running towards Toy Story Land, you know? So, but
maybe we found where I could move Toy Story Land up to.
Now, I will say that you're right though. The tower alone, which we can't include as far as a theme, it provides this aura, which buoys all the ships, so to speak, you know, in terms of Sunset Boulevard. It sets the tone. So I can see why it would have floated around number 11 for you there. All right. Number 10, we're in our top 10.
Number 10 is Main Street USA and Magic Kingdom. Oh. As I said before, there's just no other feeling than walking through the gates at Magic Kingdom, walking underneath the train station, and you walk out onto Main Street with all the entertainers and cast members and the Dapper Dans and the Main Street characters. You've got the Emporium, probably the best in-park gift shop on property. You've got some pretty decent dining options with Tony's Town Square and the Crystal Palace and Casey's once they open that back up. You got the Main Street Bakery, just all the sights and sounds. And then, of course, you look down at the end of the street, and there she is, the castle. So I couldn't have this list without Main Street USA in the top 10. So that's where it lands for me.
You know, I'm looking at your list, and as soon as you said it, I was like, are you insane? This is not in the top. And again, I look back at what's left, and you know what? I think I'd have had it ranked about number 10 as well, too. There's so many strong people, lands coming up for the top 10 and number 9 here. I don't know if you're wrong. How do you argue about, you know, everything else that's left? But I will say Main Street USA, we had a show back a long time ago with Scott Gerke and me, and where we did a kind of a land description kind of draft competition. And he had Main Street, and he described it so eloquently and so beautifully. It was almost hard not to fall in love with Main Street USA just by listening to him describe it to you. So, okay, number 10 is Main Street USA. Number 9, where are we at?
Number 9, we're staying in Magic Kingdom, and I'm going to Tomorrowland.
Okay.
Especially at nighttime. And I kind of re-fell in love with Tomorrowland on my last trip, walking through there at night. With my teenage son and my 8-year-old, just watching them see all the lights and all the sounds. And then, of course, you know, you have the Space Mountain building there that's iconic to that area. I think Tomorrowland is a pretty solid top 10. Maybe I should have had Main Street USA above Tomorrowland. I don't know, now that we talked about it. But it lands at number 9 for me.
Okay. And they're buoyed from cool bathrooms that used to be part of the Sky Buckets, you know, in that building that's there. The only thing that would hamper that, you're right, in terms of ambiance, it's fantastic. It's the food options, you know, the Lunching Pad and Cosmic Rays. But outside of that, you know, it would be the food options, which would tamper that down a little bit. But You're right, a new person, a person that doesn't even want to go on theme park attractions, and a 5-year-old putting them down in the middle of Tomorrowland at nighttime with the sounds and like the future right at your face and the neon. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. Number 8.
It does feel a little more, real quick on Tomorrowland, it does feel a little more 80s than it does tomorrow. So it could probably use a little bit of updating, but it's still pretty solid. Number 8 for me, we're going over to Animal Kingdom. And I'm going to Africa. And on my notes here, I have the attention to detail throughout all of Animal Kingdom is incredible. Joe Rohde and his crew of Imagineers just did a phenomenal job of putting the park guest into the lands of Africa, Asia, and Pandora. And it's, you look up and see the telephone wires kind of just hanging and dangling, and the buildings with all the worn out posters and signage. It really, really makes you feel like you're in some village in Africa. So I think the theming there is just really unique.
And it's almost, frankly, it's almost all done without great food options. The Harambe Food Market, the Harambe Market, the Dawa Bar, Tamu Tamu refreshments, without really many food options. It's done just sheerly on theming and getting it right. You know, we've all seen the Stacy, you know, travel program in the room, you know, the Must Do Disney. They had people come from Africa. They said it felt like being at home. They were, you know, just getting it right. So agreed with you. Number 7, where are we at?
Number 7, we are staying in Animal Kingdom and we're going over to Asia. It was really hard for me to separate those two, even though they're two totally different continents. But I think, again, it's just super immersive. Just the theming. The thing to me that separates Asia from Africa, number one, is just the Everest Again, I know it's a ride, but you can't ignore this humongous mountain in the middle of Asia there. And they definitely have better food options. So,
gotcha.
Number seven for me, Asia.
Gotcha. Number six, where are we at?
Number six, we're going to Adventureland in Magic Kingdom, especially at night. On our last trip, it was really cool, Chris. We got to the parks about 45 minutes before opening. And since they were letting people in before opening time, we got to be the only ones walking through Adventureland. We were completely alone. It was a really cool feeling, a little creepy, but it was cool. Like we're the only ones here. I couldn't see anyone in front of or behind us. And then we got to go back through there at night, and just seeing the lanterns outside of Pirates of the Caribbean and the light, the dim lighting outside of Jungle Cruise and all that just really kind of gives you a really cool, kind of creepy, but cool vibe. So yeah, I really enjoy Adventureland.
Agreed. I'm going to put a little asterisk right there because I think that would have been my number one. I'm not disappointed in where you put it, but I think it would have been my number one just for that vibe that it gives off. Even discounting the attraction, just the music and the overgrown green, you know, as you walk through the sides, just fantastic, you know, massive bathrooms. I'm not a huge fan of the Dole Whip, but it provides the Dole Whip. It provides, you know, you got the Jungle Navigation Skipper Canteen there. So you got a premier food option. You have a real premier option besides that too, as well. Everyone knows what I'm referring to, but I think it would have been number one on my list. So, what's number, we're in the top five. We're in the top five here. So where are we at?
Top five. Well, these are the big boys for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number five, I'm going back to Animal Kingdom and we're going to Pandora. Now I have to say, I have never seen Pandora at night. The last time I went, the park was closing at like 5 o'clock. And the trip before that, they were building Pandora. So, but even though I haven't seen it at night, which I've heard is amazing, it's just awesome. Those floating islands, the greenery, really, really cool. So once I see it at night, maybe it moves up to number one. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Number four.
Number four, we are going to Frontierland in Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Just
tell me why this is high for Frontierland. Tell me why.
I struggled with which should be higher for me, Frontierland or Adventureland. If you take Big Thunder Mountain and Splash Mountain completely out of the conversation. Which I'm okay with ride wise, but again, like I said, they're still there, so I can see them. You know, like you say, okay, you can't ride them. Well, okay, they're still there. They're just, I don't know. They really add to the land, especially at night. Also, factoring in, Frontierland's a great place to post up to watch the parades. Instead of being on super busy Main Street and fighting with the hordes of people, it's usually a little less busy in Frontierland. You can find a good spot. You got Pecos Bills, which offers something other than hot dogs and chicken nuggets. So it's not the best restaurant. It's basically Taco Bell at Disney. But again, if you want something other than hot dogs and chicken nuggets, it's not a bad place.
Gotcha.
So yeah,
good point about the about posting up for the parade too. So maybe I hadn't considered that. So interesting. Number three, where are we at?
Top three. Well, we're going to Galaxy's Edge.
Okay.
There may be some hardcore Star Wars fans out there that are disappointed that I don't have this number one. But not everybody is a Star Wars fan, so that's why 3 is the highest I'm going to go with that. I like Star Wars, but you know it's not for everybody. However, how can I not put it in the top 3? They literally have the Millennium Falcon in Galaxy's Edge. Mm-hmm. So anybody who grew up watching those movies, when I walked in there for the first time, I was just jaw hit the floor. So very immersive. I felt like I was on the set of The Mandalorian walking through there. The only knocks for me is that it seems like it's nearly impossible to get a reservation at Ogus Cantina. And being able to ride Rise of the Resistance is kind of a coin flip, even though we're not considering the ride. So to me, that still just gives it a little bit of a knock.
Gotcha. So we were in Disneyland, and my family's not a Star Wars fan. We watch it. It's nice. It's not. We're not passionate about it, and they enjoyed it. But at the end of the day, it didn't. That wasn't their takeaway from Disneyland. They didn't take that away and said, "Boy, that was just the most impressive experience ever." But if you're a Star Wars fan, it is the coup de grace. I mean, it is the be all end all of your visit. And I understand that, you know, so really cool. Okay. We got two left, both headliners. And again, you know, you would probably listen to me and say Adventureland would not beat out any one of these two. Maybe you're right. I think I may know where you're going with number one. So maybe Adventureland for me would be number two. But what is your number two?
You want to guess?
Man, so I only can see this playing out one way here. Because now that I've said that, you know, it's got to be Fantasyland. Fantasyland has to be number two, correct?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, tell us why.
Again, I'm a huge Magic Kingdom guy.
Okay.
Love it, and obviously the last two left are World Showcase and Fantasyland. And a lot of people are probably saying, how in the world can you not pick World Showcase number one?
I can tell you why. I have reasons why it wouldn't be number one, but go ahead. You define yours.
So here's my reasoning. At number two, I have World Showcase. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. There's 11 countries. There's tons of restaurants and shops. And I mean, where can you go and visit 11 countries in a day? I mean, it's pretty amazing. However, when you're taking younger kids,
better boy,
my kids get bored. They get bored at World Showcase. They just do. They would rather ride whatever, go do the Nemo and Friends or go ride Spaceship Earth or whatever. They don't care about the World Showcase other than go on to ride Frozen. That's the only reason they want to go. So that's why it's not number one for me. Now, if I went on an adults only trip, yeah, probably. It'd probably be number one, but I had to factor that in.
That's exactly right. I was thinking about it in my mind, and Adventureland would still have that fun Disney mystique for my five-year-old. And it might hold her attention, or she's actually eight, but it might hold her attention after you get past Frozen for a few lands. But once you show her physically and you point, that's where we've got to go to finish it. I can just imagine every eight-year-old being like, oh. You know, so that's tough. And remember, part of the criteria was fun for a five-year-old or a 50-year-old. So yeah, it would definitely be lacking for a five-year-old. They're going to be in a stroller. They're going to be asleep. Let's be honest. So yep. I may have clouded my vision by thinking what would be fun for me. But okay, if that is number two, I can't disagree upon Fantasyland, especially when you're considering 5 or 50, because at 50, you're reflecting back towards the kids' age and seeing the fun in their face. You're right. Food, bathrooms, theming, overall feel. That's hard to compete with at Fantasyland. Tell us why it's number one for you.
When I went to bed last night, Fantasyland was somewhere around 7 or 8 on this list for me. And it took me forever, it seemed like, to get to sleep because I kept tossing and turning, thinking I have Fantasyland way too low. You gotcha. Kept me up last night, Chris. because Fantasyland is Disney for a lot of people. It is. I mean, they don't have my favorite attractions. I don't spend my most amount of time in Fantasyland when I'm at Magic Kingdom, but it is Disney. The castle and just all of it. The bathrooms, like you said, they have dining options. It's how could you go wrong in Fantasyland? Seriously.
Correct. The carousel. People, some of their most treasured memories are with their family, with their grandma, grandpa on, on the carousel or on Peter Pan or on Small World. Those are our first memories of things. So, I think you might have converted me there. I was thinking the World Showcase was a shoo-in for number one, even though I said Adventureland. I would have probably ranked it as Fantasyland, Adventureland World Showcase because of the criteria we set forth. So, I don't disagree with you. Fantasyland's strong. I knew it would be in the top three no matter what, because there's so much to offer there. So,
Yeah, exactly.
okay. What surprised you when you were doing this research? Did anything surprise you as far as how low you had things? Did the Epcot ones really surprise you when that's where they came in at 17 and whatnot? What did you learn about yourself during this thing? Besides losing
Oh
sleep.
man, that I put a lot of time and research into this. Yeah, I probably had Toy Story Land too low. I probably had Sunset Boulevard too high. Main Street USA, I feel like I probably had too low, but where am I going to move it up to? Adventureland, I should have flipped that with Frontierland. You're right.
Well, I don't know.
The
I don't know. I
walk
mean,
up to there, I
Frontierland's
just.
pretty, it's pretty strong at the end there. I agree with you on that.
If nothing else, doing this list really, really gave me the itch to go back. I can't wait for my next trip.
You go. You now have research when you're down there, right? You can say, well, how did I possibly say this was number 14? How did I say this was number 20, right? At that point.
Right, exactly.
And we probably do want to go and reclaim some of our Disney image by saying even land number 21 and 20 are still fantastic. And it would still be the highlight of our day today if we were down there just walking through number 20, which is, the animation courtyard and whatnot. It would still be the coolest part of our day. So there's really no, this is like a
Absolutely.
ranking of the best 21 lands. Not, we shouldn't have identified it as top to bottom, So agreed there.
Yep, I
Okay.
totally agree.
Okay. In this search that you did here, though, okay, with all these lands, is there anyone that would have pushed up like your trip? Like, let's say you're making a trip and you were like, you know what? I viewed number 16 kind of low. I'm going to avoid that park. Or did any of these affect your travel plans going forward? Because I could see how, like, when we have this show, we're like, oh, tell me where your bucket list is. It's Wilderness Lodge. Well, the next time you go down, you're definitely looking at the pricing for Wilderness Lodge. I guarantee you that. But did any of these affect any of your future travel
Oh, for
plans? Like,
sure.
yeah, I'm going to skip Epcot next time. I really didn't value Epcot like I thought I did.
A little bit. I figured out that I would enjoy Epcot a lot more without my kids, as bad as that is for me to say.
Gotcha.
Because they, like I said, they get bored.
Yeah.
There's a few good rides there. They enjoy going to ride Test Track and Soarin', then Spaceship Earth. And then once they've done three or four rides, they're ready to go. They'd rather be back at at Pop Century in the swimming pool, honestly. So I do want to take a more of a grown-ups trip with the wife and maybe, take another couple with us, some friends, and really enjoy Epcot for what it is and the World Showcase. And I kind of feel the same way, honestly, about Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom doesn't have a ton of great attractions. They've got four or five pretty good ones. But then after that, it's the trails and just, the aesthetics and the atmosphere. But I think that I would enjoy that more maybe on an adult's trip than I have with kids who are just worn out and tired after lunchtime and ready to
Yeah.
go back to the pool. So I
It's
love my kids, don't get me wrong. But I
Yeah, no,
think
it's
it would be a totally different
valid.
experience.
Yeah, it's completely valid. If you're a dad toting around young ones, you know, under the age of 12, you know, 10, it's completely valid. Our experiences in the parks are completely different than a couple that doesn't have kids or a couple just, you know, around at nighttime. 100%. I've been there. I agree with you 100% on that matter. So interesting. Okay. If people have any questions or they want to go and give feedback or maybe talk about their top three or criticize us for our list, I'm just going to go and give a shout out here. We have a group called EDCOT, EDCOT. Feel free to join. I know James is there and we can certainly talk about it there. Do you have any other way? If someone wants to get in contact with you, is EDCOT the best way, James, to send a question out to you?
Yeah, they can find me at EDCOT. Send me a message through Facebook Messenger. That's fine. Either way, I'll be on there.
Outstanding. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up for today. And again, give us some feedback. Let us know how we did. Let us know where we made a mistake. And, you know, we can discuss. Again, the listener group is EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T. So for listening today, we appreciate it. If you would go to your podcast catcher of choice, which now includes Pandora, we're on Pandora Radio, but you can go to Podomatic or Apple Podcast or Stitcher or anywhere you find your podcast. Find the review section, leave us a review. We would greatly appreciate that. So for my buddy James and for myself, I'd like to thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, you guys. See ya.